asking God why or when. There are certain questions for which it is hard for the natural mind to get an answer from God. These are asking God when he's going to do something, why he has not yet done something, or why he has allowed something to happen. What is the meaning and purpose? The answer we usually get from God is, wait, and you'll see. God does not mind that the natural mind wants to know these things. He knows we've got a natural mind. And he knows that that's where our default system is. That's what gets our attention. What's going on? How do we solve this? What's the answer? That's the natural mind. And we need it to make decisions. The natural mind can't understand so many things that God does. It doesn't stop God from giving answers. There's one thing you can know for certain in your spiritual mind. That is that God is at work in the situation, that we must never give up trusting him to bring about an understanding of his will and purpose for us, no matter what the situation happens to be. He's telling us to live by faith, trusting him totally. People think, what's the meaning? What's the purpose? God can't be in this. God says, trust me totally. God is in command and in charge of every detail to bring about his purpose for us, and he's committed to showing us who he is and what he's like and what he's doing. The greatest mystery and miscarriage of justice that would happen in history to the natural mind is that God's son got killed as a criminal, crucified. What possible meaning and purpose could that have? Well, go figure. Look what that's done. Saved the world. Our natural mind doesn't understand the greatness of God's purpose. What God wants us to get is a greater revelation of him in our spiritual mind, not a better explanation from him in our natural mind. He always gives us what he wants us to know, not always what we want to know. We get a new view of God and we grow in faith and trust. But we learn to hang in there and endure and be patient and to know the comfort of the Holy Spirit. When we investigate the Word of God, you can read it and you can read it and you can read it, but when you read into it what the message of Jesus was, what the New Covenant was all about, it's telling us how to learn understanding the ways of God in the Spirit. That's what it's saying. That's what repentance is. Repentance is often defined as a change of mind. It's the word metanoia. And in the true literal meaning of that in Greek, that means beyond the mind. Meta, beyond. Mind. New Covenant message, because Jesus had to preach in parables about the kingdom of God, was about a new way to think. And God has given us that. He renews our mind. We cooperate. And this is what the Bible is full of, the New Testament, being renewed in our mind. It's what the difference is between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. We're told we have a spiritual mind and a natural mind. The entire discipleship message of Paul is not in the flesh, not in the natural mind, the spiritual mind. Putting on the new man as opposed to the old man. That's the entire gospel. The good news is revealed. No matter what the new, what the old man's questions are in the natural mind, God breaks through in the spirit and brings a revelation into the spiritual mind, which is in every person, waiting to be unlocked. And that is the key word, waiting. It's why waiting on God is so important. We would like an instant fax from God. He says, you want to wait? You want to get to know me? What I'm like? And that's the new creation starting to blossom. It's the kingdom of God starting to bear fruit in a person's life. It's that word, the Logos, principle of God's reason and creative order, starting to express who we really are in life. And that happens in our spiritual mind, in our heart. There was a prophet called Habakkuk in the Old Testament. He couldn't understand all the strife and injustice that was happening in the nations around about him. He wanted God to do something. Why don't you do something, God? Why did you let that happen? Aren't you in charge? But he was told by God that God's plan of action would be revealed at an appointed time, and it would surely come, and it would not be late. Habakkuk 2 verse 3. The revelation is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not be late, for the just shall live by faith. That's the only time that faith is mentioned in the Old Testament. As a word for them to live by. And you can have a look. It is mentioned once more. I hesitate to mention it. It's in Deuteronomy where he says, these people are a people of no faith. So there's another mention. The just will live by faith. How emphatic is this? It will come. You will know at an appointed time. It will speak. It won't lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. That's quite emphatic. I believe as this year unfolds, as you dispose your heart towards waiting for God and hearing Him speak to you in the Spirit, you're going to get to know Him so much more and be drawn so much closer to Him and to one another. In the New Testament, that same scripture is almost given to us. It's really re-quoting Habakkuk, but it's for the Christians. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 35 said, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to know and be part of God's purpose for you. Then you will receive all that is promised, for the just shall live by faith. The New Testament is full of the word faith, not like the Old Testament. What Habakkuk said was prophetic about how we're to live by faith in what you don't see, what you know that God is at work. So the natural mind still has questions. And don't be worried about that. My natural mind's full of questions. But I don't mind asking God in the natural mind. I just keep on asking. But we know that God has said this in the Old Testament, Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. I find myself with my natural mind thinking of these questions. And if I can get off that train, and say, all right, stop, I'm getting off at the next station of all of this with my natural mind. I'm just going to stop and wait at the station for a while for another train to come. That's the spiritual mind. And I tell you, as I wait, I can see that train disappearing and I'm thinking, oh, golly, that's me. It's no good getting condemned about it. It's no good thinking, oh, I can't stand that person. No, no, look, it's limited. It's all right. God says, hey, don't get all fussed about it. It's just your limited natural mind. I'm not condemning it. I'm just saying there's another train coming. Just get off, will you? And wait. Get off and I'll wait. You can hear it. You know, I think getting in touch with God is a lot, changing the metaphor now, is a lot like radar. There's a sonar bit you put out. Can't hear you, God. Where are you? Where's this jolly train? And then all of a sudden you get, yes. As you wait, the radar screen lights up and you think, this is it. It's a different place. It's a different way of thinking. There's a rest, there's a peace, there's an expectation, there's a hope. You're not even in touch with your natural mind anymore. You've kind of forgotten what it's like. You're not interested in all the things that have got to happen here. You're interested in something that's happening between you and God. And this is so much better. And then God's able to speak into things that the natural mind could not conceive. But you wait. So the new covenant answers all these questions in the following way. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Spirit can be known only by spirit. God's spirit, this is from the Message Bible, God's spirit and our spirits in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's spirit is doing. And we can't be judged by unspiritual critics. And the world would say, you're mad, pie in the sky. No, this is reality. You can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's spirit? Anyone who knows what he's doing has been answered. Christ knows, and we have the mind of Christ. That's us. We have the mind of Christ. This is the new covenant. This is a new day. This is a new way. We can be perplexed but not in despair because a new kind of hope lives within us. As we gather now for communion and pray, just four things I want to gather up that I see being part of the context of our praying, and that is, number one, waiting on God in trust and faith. Get off the other train, sit at the station, Something coming. Get your radar. Send out a ping. You'll come back. Number two, receive comfort. Receive. It's not a matter of if only. It is, Lord, I am receiving. Be in receptive mode, saying, you are the greatest God. You are wonderful. You're comforting. You're loving. I'm receiving comfort. Receive it yourself and on behalf of our dear beloved family that we're praying for today. Number three, in the context of being given guidance for each step forward for your life for this year, the things that are involving the people that we're praying for, that we are praying for. Number four, pray in the context that life has greater ongoing meaning and purpose than ever before, no matter what has happened in your life. That is the path that God has you on. And so we come and have communion together and with God, and we give thanks that he's revealing to us who he is and drawing us closer to him and closer to one another. That's God's plan. That was Jesus' prayer. Father, make them one. It's happening. We'll use all things that happen to bring that about. Amen. Amen.